Today I want us to consider, if you will, when we talk about different things that God has revealed unto us, important things to guide us along the way in our lives here on this earth and in our spiritual life. But there's some things that He also instructs us in, some things that He fills in kind of the blanks with that we need to be aware of, future events that are coming about. And one of those things that we need to consider is that of judgment. Whenever we think about judgment, there are several that many people, if they're living their lives according to His will, they're looking forward to that day of judgment, knowing and realizing that what is to come after judgment. But at the same time, there are many who are anxious, fearful for what they are about to witness and feel themselves in that day. I want us to begin our lesson today in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. We find there that the writer says, "Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads. The words of the scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Oh, making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh." But then he says in verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." What we need to consider here and what we really need to be focusing on is judgment. The things to come. How we prepare ourselves for what is about to come. You know, when we get up in the morning, we prepare ourselves for that day. For what events that we're going to be involved in that day. And we put things in order so that we're prepared and ready when those things come. But so many times we fall short when it comes to the spiritual things that we need to be prepared for. Judgment is a very certain thing. It is going to come just as death comes upon each and every one of us. We can be assured that judgment is just as certain as we read here in Ecclesiastes, as also we read in Hebrews 9 and verse 27 there, where it says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Each and every one of us will face death, and each and every one of us will face the judgment to come. It's a great day for those who are prepared. In Matthew 25, talks about the 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise. They were prepared. They were ready when the bridegroom came. But yet we find that only those 5 entered in, and the doors were shut. What we find there also is the 5 foolish virgins, where we read about, and it says it's a terrible day to come before the door, and the door is already shut, and no entrance will be made because of unpreparation. I want us to consider and look into God's Word. I want us to see just what insight did God give us about judgment. One of the things that I think is important is to understand the group that is going to be there, how large the crowd is going to be. You know, when we look at, I've been to several professional baseball games, Cincinnati Reds, of course. And you go there and you see the stadium just filled, and they give the numbers of the attendance that's there that day. And it might be 100,000 or something like this, and you think, man, that's a lot of people. But the greatest crowd of people that are ever going to be assembled in one place, and I don't refer to that as a physical sense of people, but souls, spiritual souls, is that of the day of judgment. Because see, we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says there, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." All of mankind, past, present, future. Every living soul upon this earth that has ever lived, is living, and will live upon this earth, will be in attendance on that day. every soul. I just can't even fathom in my mind the mass number of souls that are going to be there. But it is true that we will all be there. Then we find here another point that I want us to make is the judge. We need to recognize who the judge is going to be. You know, in a lot of lawyers, they always try to seek out certain judges to try to preside over a certain case because they know that that judge may be a little lenient one way or the other. And so they try to find, or hopefully, to have that judge presiding over their case so that they can win that case. But see, there's only one judge. One judge that is picked. One judge that is chosen to preside over in judgment. And that judge we find in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12 there. Notice Jesus himself says, "Behold, I come quickly." No other judge. Jesus himself says, "I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work." We find also in 2 Timothy chapter 4 when we go back over, and we notice that Paul is nearing the end of his life here on this earth. He recognizes this, and in the second letter that he wrote to Timothy, he kind of concludes here, kind of wraps things up in the latter part of this letter, in chapter 4 there, in verse 6, where he says, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand," he says. For I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith," he says. And then in verse 8, notice what he says. He says, "Finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord," that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, "which the Lord, the righteous judge," he says, "will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearing." See, even Paul here makes a very affirmative statement here that it is Christ Jesus who will preside over each and every one of us as the judge in our judgment. And as he says here, if we have kept the faith, if we fought a good fight, if we have finished our race upon this earth, then not only did Paul himself receive that crown of righteousness, but each and every one can receive that crown of righteousness from the Lord and Savior himself. See, what we find is this judge will not be swayed in any way. There's no hush money here. There's nothing involved here. There's no way that Jesus is going to be swayed, and no bribery or anything like that. Our Lord and Savior is as Paul stated it there, he is a righteous judge. He will judge us according to the things written in this word and these things only. And no matter how we may try to plead our case or try to come up with whatever excuses we may come up with, he will not be swayed in any way. We have lived our lives in faithful service unto him, or we have failed in service to him. Jesus will not be swayed. And then we find, got too far there, hit that button too twice. All will receive justice. Believe me, we will. Everything that we read in God's Word, every instruction that God has given us, every direction that He has given us to go in, that's what we'll be judged by. As He says in the book of James, when we look into God's Word, it's like a mirror, a reflection we see from God's Word. I know what my life is like. You know what your life is like. You know what you've done and what you should do and what you shouldn't have done. And then when we look into God's Word, we see that reflection. And we need to make the necessary changes. Because as it says there, we will receive a just reward. Mercy only comes from God to those who are righteous and obedient unto Him. Another point that I want us to make in thinking about judgment and thinking about this day that's coming, and believe me, it's coming quickly. Every day of our lives Every breath that we breathe brings us closer and closer to judgment. And we need to be very aware of that and be prepared. We find out that there are books. A lot of times we wonder, what are we going to be judged by? How are we going to be judged? Well, we find in John chapter 12 and verse 48 there, where he says there, Jesus says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words." It is the words of Christ. "Hath one that judgeth him." The word, he says there, now notice there, "the word that I have spoken, the same words," he says, "shall judge him in the last day." These words that he has offered unto us, these instructions of guidance, all this is what we're going to be judged by. I've said many times that, you know, when we think about, looking into it's in the school, in the secular realm, you know, I always look forward to the open book tests. Those were the easier ones. Those were the ones where you had the question and you actually were able to look in the book and find the answer. Well, that's kind of like what this is. God has given us an open book. We're going to be without excuse. Do you see what I'm trying to get at? No excuse, because God has given it all to us. He revealed it to us. He allows us to have it. We have it right here before us. There will be no excuse for failure in that day. "The same shall judge you in the last day." In Revelation chapter 20, I use it quite a bit because it really demonstrates here, of course, the revelation that was given unto John here on the Isle of Patmos, and what it has to say and the impact of what it has to say there. Beginning in verse 12, John said, "I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God," and he says, "the books were opened." Now he's talking here about judgment. He's revealing unto us what judgment is going to be like. This is a scene that we are going to see. "The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And he says there, the dead were judged according to their works." Now notice here, "by the things which were written in the books." These books, every letter written to every church, every instruction given by God, that's what we will be judged by. And he goes on to say, "The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast," it says, "into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now that other book, the book of life, that's a very important book, because it talks about names written in it. What are those names? Names of faithful, obedient children of God. Now that's one book. If there's anywhere you want to see your name, that's one book you want to find your name in. Because see, it says there in the latter part there in verse 15, "If there is a name not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire." Now that's a scary thing to think about. A fearful thing. That should bring upon anxiety and a desire to turn our way toward God and start being obedient unto Him if we have not already. Because we want our books found, our names written in that book of life. Because without it, we are lost eternally. I want us to think about another point. It's going to be a great separation. You know, we're all familiar with when you turn your Bibles back over to Matthew chapter 25. And we find there in that particular passage, it talks about this great separation that's going to take effect. And when we read about it, it says there, notice what it says, "All nations will be gathered before Him," in verse 32, "and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." And he set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats were on the left. There's going to be this great separation that's going to take effect. It's going to happen here this day of judgment. We need to be aware of that because, you know, when you look at this, you need to consider which side we want to be on. And see, we don't have that choice when we get there. When we're in judgment, it's not going to be, well, which side do you want to go on? You know, when you go to a wedding, they always ask you, you know, are you with the groom or the bride? And you have a choice of which side to be on. Sometimes, you know, you're friends with the groom and the bride, so you have this choice of which side you get to sit on. Not here. This has already been determined. This choice is not up to us as far as that day. Now, we can prepare ourselves so that the Lord puts us on the side we want to be on. But we've got to be prepared. We've got to do the things and be ready so that we can have that. Because it says there, notice what he says, the king will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he goes through a list of things that he speaks of. We don't have time to read all of this all the way through verse 46, but we're going to kind of hit on a few of the verses there to get the point here. But notice here, if you will, a father or a husband could be on one side, while a wife and a mother would be on the other. A father or mother may be on one side and the child on the other side. There's not going to be any, well, this family needs to stay together. No. It's all according to our individual responses to the will of God. Every one of us are individually responsible for where we end up when it comes to this separation. Sadly to say, many families are going to be separated. Loved ones, friends are going to be separated in this day. We find that this is a terrible separation, and it'll be a separation that is forever. There will be no second chances or anything of that nature. I want us to consider, if you will, when it talks about the sheep on the right and the goats on the left, we need to think about, where will I be on this day? Where am I going to be when the Lord and Savior starts making this separation? Who will I be separated from? You know, we talked a little bit in class this morning about having love, and Roger had pointed out 1 Corinthians 13. The compassion and love that it talks about there in that chapter. Not only should I want to go to heaven, not only do I want to be on the right hand in this day of judgment, but how concerned am I about others and them also being on the right hand when this day comes? See, that's where love and compassion comes in, for the love and compassion of others. And what am I willing to do to assist and help them in getting there as well as myself? So where will we be? I want us to consider also the verdict. Just as any time that judgment comes about, there's a verdict that is handed down. Sometimes it is a good verdict, and sometimes it is not so good. So what verdict are we going to be facing on the day of judgment? Well, we find again in looking in this passage here in Matthew 25 and verse 34, notice there again, and I just read it a few moments ago, but it says, the king will say to those on the right hand, the sheep on the right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now we ask ourselves, well, now what did I do to receive such a great judgment? such a verdict as that? Well, as he goes on to say, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited with me. Prison, in prison, you visited me also. Doing the things that God commands. Simply doing what God has commanded us with love and compassion for mankind. The righteous, of course, are going to answer him saying, Lord, when did we do it? Do these things for you? And as he goes on down, he says, as you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. We've demonstrated that love and compassion. Well, then we notice here that it goes on to say in verse 41, notice this verdict. It doesn't sound as pleasing as the other verdict was. In this verdict, we find he says, depart from ye, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. How many of us want to hear that verdict? I don't want to hear it. I don't think any one of you want to hear that. Whenever you think about, and again going back over to this separation, and realizing that that's going to be an eternal separation, this verdict will as well be an eternal verdict. There won't be no appeals later on. There won't be any turning over the verdict and reversing it in any way. This verdict will be lasting and eternal. This is a verdict we don't want to hear, a verdict that is not going to be pleasing in the eyes or the ears of any of us. In Matthew 25 and verse 46, notice there, in the latter part, as he concludes this thought, the writer says here, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Who? Those who did not follow after the commandments of God. Those who did not pursue righteousness and faithfulness. They will go into away into everlasting punishment. But then he gives this reassuring fact. But the righteous into life eternal. That's the comforting thought. That's the driving force behind being faithful and righteous in the sight of God. Knowing that one day I can live eternal in the heavens with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I want us to consider that these verdicts will be announced to all who have ever lived. Each and every one of us, each and every man that has ever lived upon this earth and ever will live, will face one of these two verdicts. These are things that we need to be to keep in our minds to focus on, because this is coming quickly upon each and every one of us. I want us to consider today the verdict. I want us to consider how faithful we are to God. Where will I spend my eternity? We have an opportunity today. If you have never obeyed the gospel, you have an opportunity to get on track. Think about your soul. Think about where you want to spend that eternity. Two places God has prepared: a home in heaven or a place called hell. When we look in Luke chapter 16, it talks about the rich man and Lazarus. It's a very clear picture of all that we've looked at right here. Both men died. One man was led by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And it says he was comforted. That was Lazarus. Lazarus didn't have anything of this worldliness. He didn't have anything that pertained under riches or any of that. Even his physical health was not well. But see, now he's in comfort. Now the rich man, he died. He had everything that he could have ever imagined when it comes to physical, material things. even as hell. But when he died, it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Where do I want to spend eternity? You've got the rich man and you've got Lazarus as examples. Where will it be? Whatever your decision is, we hope and pray you'll make a wise decision today. Come forward while together we stand and sing the invitation song. Let us sing.